I've always been told that I'm too small. I'm not big enough. I'm not fast enough. I don't have what it takes to be the best and stay there. Sweat is necessary. Walter and Jerry had their heels, never being comfortable with just good enough.
It's right now, never. It's right now, never.
I prepare so no one can take what is mine. No one can replace my mind, my heart. Lombarding and spiking me. And now our biggest prize bears his name. I'm older. Of course I'm older. That's the beauty of it. 16 years plus. A different level of wisdom. A different level of understanding. A different level of punishment. I want to live long after my records have fallen. Long after my rings have tarnished. Then what you got to do to make sure you chase your legacy every second of your life. Will you be remembered? How would you be remembered? Why wouldn't you fight for the greatest achievement ever? Leave your mark.
Okay, football fans.
Are you ready for some football?
Let's get back to some football.
And welcome back to NFL Easy Picks right here on Kayfabe Sports Radio, where it's all at work. And yeah, it's been quite some time since we had a show, but it's obviously because of my job. Being out on the road, it's hard to record. And we probably could have did one last week, but with Christmas and everything, I just didn't even attempt to do one. But we're here, and we're going to do our season finale, because I'm not going to be back until like the Super Bowl. And yeah, let's just do everything that we're going to do normally for this show. We're going to talk about how our teams did for the year, all that kind of stuff, and look into the playoffs, because we have a little bit of playoffs bracket ahead of us. But this isn't just a normal episode, because with our normal episode, you know, we have my co-host Joe Bennett Jr.
That's me,
the almost picks champion. It's so close, but we'll get to that in a minute. But it's not just us this week. We have one returning guest who hasn't been back since our first year, and one person who's been annoying me for a couple months to get on the show. So we're gonna first start off with the one who's been annoying me for some time, our Denver Broncos fan Miguel.
Microphone check, 1 2 1 2. What is up
Miguel? I know you're gonna be in a pretty good mood, because out of everybody on this show, you're the only one with a team in the playoffs and a number one seed at that, and a possible Super Bowl favorite. And also on the show, we have, like I said, returning from season one, our first season we had as a show, from the allwrestling.com Week in Review, Dan the Cannon.
Fresh out Redemption Island. You tried to kick me off this show once, off the Survivor Island, but I am back. I fought my way back on. A little heartbroken about my Bears, but still repping my town, Chi-Town. Thanks for having me.
Well, we'll definitely get in the Chicago thing. There's a lot we got to talk about, how our teams have been doing. But let's go to the pick'ems. Actually, no, let's switch gears. Let's go to the fantasy league, because we're not a fantasy podcast, so we're not expected to win, and we didn't. So the final standings were, in first place, the winner, Stop Tickling Me Elmo, a.k.a. the Mop Jockey. Second place, the Dark Knights, Shane. And third place, since he's here, Dan the Cannon.
Thank you. Yes, if it would have been a flex league where I had a multitude of running backs at my disposal, but we were only allowed to start two, so I never had a strong third wide receiver, which ultimately I thought was the key to my demise. So I'll take my little trophy, though. Throw it on my Yahoo plaque. I like to see that hardware.
Yeah, I finished ninth. Joe, do you even know what you finished at? Because it's not giving me a full standings.
I haven't logged in to the fantasy in a long time, because I was concentrating on the league that I actually won league championship.
I was in the same spot. Let me see your final standings. It says you were sixth.
Oh, that's not bad. Out of how many teams?
10.
I'll take that for not playing.
Yeah, I was ninth. I was terrible.
I mean, I did better than Stevie G probably.
Yeah, Stevie G only got 1-13. I mean, I'm the same. I was the same way. I had the one league I was worried about, and that was the WIR league, where I finished in second place because My team decided to lay an egg championship week. I lost 108.44 to 74.08.
Woo.
And out of not counting, actually no, counting my quarterback, out of all my players, I only received one touchdown.
Wow.
That's it.
Did Calvin Johnson. Did you have the Browns playing as your fantasy team?
I should have. I might as well have. Because Calvin Johnson, he 43 yards. Larry Fitzgerald, 18 yards. Matt Forte, 29 rushing yards, 25 receiving yards. Remember, this was against the Eagles that week. Chris Johnson, 90 yards rushing, 3 yards receiving. The tight end for the freaking Giants that I picked up last minute, 53 receiving yards. And here's my favorite, Vernon Davis, nothing. I was so close to winning something, but I have to settle for second place in that particular league. But it's kind of funny because in that league last year, I was second place. I mean, not second place. I was last place. And I think I auto-picked that draft. I think I picked maybe two or three myself, but the rest was auto-picked. But then again, I think this league, our league, was auto-picked too. And yeah, results may vary. But let's get into our Pick'ems League because that's what we do here. Awkward Carrots in at seventh place, who hasn't done anything for weeks. The Submission Specialist, Dan, who hasn't done something in many weeks. It is what it is. Mart with Eat My Goal, fifth place, 143. Shane, the Dark Knights, 154 correct. And then, actually, it's the top four. With Shane added in, it's just so close because I'm in third place with 155. Joe, you're in second place with 156. And Mop is in first with 157. And we are going through the Super Bowl. And it could very well be one the four of us could win.
Yeah, I had a commanding lead going into this week, and then I screwed up.
Yeah, let's take a look at how bad you screwed it up. How bad you screwed the pooch.
9 points.
Me and Shane both got first of the week. We got 13 each. Actually, I think last week I got tied for first too. We both got Miami winning wrong, Detroit winning wrong. I got Chicago winning wrong. Damn you, Chicago. And he got the Chiefs winning and I had Chargers winning. And thank God the Chargers won because now I don't have to deal with Steelers fans. But let's get into our year in review and how we thought our teams did. And while we have him here, before he drops off the call again, since Miguel is the only one with someone in the playoffs, let's go how he thinks how's Denver Broncos are doing.
Before we get into that, I just want to talk about the what happened. Did you guys hear about the what do you call him? What's his name? The Chiefs. They should have got a re-kick on that last kick where they missed it at the end of regulations. You know that?
I think I did hear about that.
But they had 12. They had 7 men lined up incorrectly. At least San Diego did, and they didn't figure that out until after the game. So they should have gotten a re-kick. And you know, they were interviewing Tomlin about it, and it was good stuff. I thought it was funny, but yeah, they should have gotten in, probably more than likely.
I mean, it's one of those things that you get blown calls all the time. That Bears game.
You mean like the Aaron Rodgers ghost freaking roughing the passer call?
You mean Jay Cutler?
No, the call where
Aaron Rodgers. That was against Aaron Rodgers.
It was late hit. Okay.
Yeah, and yeah, that was one that was definitely blown. Like, I'm not one of those people that always says everything is in my team's favor, but even that one, I was like, that was the wrong call. Like, that should have been challenged, and the one kickoff or not punt shouldn't have been challenged.
You can't challenge penalties.
You can challenge positioning,
but there was nothing positioned.
I guess that is true.
Anyway, what was your question?
Since you're the only one with a team in the playoffs, how do you think it's very smart ass, but how do you think your team did for the year, and what are your thoughts on it?
You know, I'm happy with it. I still have a lot of my doubts because as soon as they lost their Pro Bowl left tackle and their center, I knew we were in for some trouble, and it took some time before they actually did any adjustments so that Peyton wouldn't be rushed so often. But I'm still concerned about that. The defense, you know, defense has a lot of holes in their bucket, as Cannon would say, and I'm concerned, but I'll take it. I'll take what they're giving me.
I think the Broncos have one of the best shots to at least win the AFC. I don't know when it comes to the Super Bowl because you got to figure out the other side of the puzzle, but to me, the Broncos have had a storybook season. Peyton Manning just absolutely killing it this year. Your kicker breaking the record, and like, as soon as that happened, I was like, if they win, this is going to be like the storybook season and will be told forever. They could possibly say this is one of the best teams ever.
Don't jinx it, man.
They are my pick. They have been my pick for all year to at least make it to the Super Bowl. Originally had them losing, but even that, after the week one, I kind of changed my mind on that one. But we'll see how the other half of the story goes, because I think that's going to be where it lies.
Allow me to interject. I don't think that Denver stands a snowball's chance in hell. There's just no way. You have to go off of the best indicator of future behavior is past. And all I've seen from Peyton Manning, except for, of course, the years they played the Bears, where we had a far inferior team, is that in a big game, Peyton Manning inexplicably disappears. years. And you don't even need to look to prior postseasons. You can look as early as this season when they went up against Andrew Luck in Indianapolis, a game that they should have won, that Peyton had to win for his legacy. And he embarrassed himself. And there's just no excuse for that. And I can't help but feel that it's going to happen again this year. Anyone who's gambled on the NFL knows one thing for sure, that there is no sure thing in the NFL this year. And I see like two unexpected teams in the Super Bowl, or at the very least, Denver not getting in. That's my prediction.
Only imagine a Chargers-Panthers Super Bowl.
Or, worst Ravens or... ever.
But, I mean, I see what you mean, but after the, I called this right after it happened, and I got half of it right so far, the other half is yet to happen, but when the Broncos lost to the Chiefs, I mean, to the Colts, I said, now, at that point, the Chiefs were undefeated, I said, the Broncos are going to beat the Chiefs, and the Colts and the Broncos will meet in the playoffs, and the Broncos will beat the Colts up. I very much think that could happen.
That'd be a great game for the NFL. That's the game that Roger Goodell wants. If you have any invested interest, that's just, that's Insta ratings and must-see TV. I haven't really seen the bracket, so I don't know if that's a possible matchup or what round it would be in. But yeah, that's going to be a great match, no doubt.
For the order for that to happen, the Chargers have to win because the Colts are the fourth seed. Broncos are the first. Or do I...
Yeah, so they could run into each other the following week in the divisional championship round.
Or did I have that bass backwards and not realize it? Let me see. No, the Bengals have to win. Yeah, Bengals have to win because the Broncos will get the Chargers if they win.
Right, you're right.
Yeah, yeah. So, because basically, okay, Bengals win, and let's say the Patriots beat the Bengals, there will be three games in a row on the AFC side that are just ratings gold. I think the Chiefs, Colts, it's not necessarily as rating gold, but I think it's no matter what, if the Bengals win, one of these teams who have something to prove against the Broncos goes up against the Broncos, and Colts, Broncos would just be awesome. And then Broncos, Patriots. That's ratings.
But usually, and, usually in the first round, you have some games that are, you're just waiting to get to the divisional championship round because most of the games are easy calls. But this year, I mean, every game is really a pick'em. I mean, there's somewhere you're going to get your odds on favorite, but for the most part, just great parity, or you could say just no great teams in the NFL this year. Everyone's kind of equal weakness and strengths. Everyone's got a hole in their bucket, no doubt.
It's definitely been an awkward season, that's for sure. A lot of injuries, a lot of chaos.
I've called it in any given Sunday season.
Oh, most definitely.
Because there's just been so many games that people that are winning that you're not expect to win, people are you don't expect to lose. It's just all these scenarios. Like, we could go through it. I mean, I went through it on one of the last episodes of the complete this team beat this team, and basically you go all through the NFL and connect it in one big circle. There's just so much there, but let's get into the Dallas Cowboys.
Well, we can do that.
First off, you got to start with your bet. And state your bet.
Unfortunately, I made a bet with Shane that if the Cowboys won, he would have to come on here and say something about the Cowboys, and if the Cowboys lost, I would have to say something about the Eagles. And I was expecting to get this long tweet or some email from Shane saying like how epic the Eagles are and how amazing and blah blah this and blah blah that, but the only thing he gave me was go Eagles. What a horrible thing. I would have taken full advantage of him and made him say all the how great Tony Romo is and amazing the Cowboys were and Kyle Orton just raped us literally, but unfortunately I don't get to do that. I have to say go Eagles, but it definitely not a Tony Romo curse. It's definitely a, I'm gonna say it's a Jerry Jones curse. He needs to find a real general manager and not be the general manager, period, because he's awful. We need a real defense. Offense, I feel fine. Obviously, the next man up motto worked well. Kyle Orton looked awesome, except for that interception in the fourth quarter, which could have easily won the game. But again, fourth quarter turnover with less than 2 minutes to go, and it just kills our season. Like the last three seasons, that was win or go home. So I'm getting used to this, losing the last week of the season. But overall,
yeah,
the money that was paid for Tony Romo, I think, was actually worth it because he had a great season. I mean, look at Eli Manning, who was almighty. He was awful.
Yeah, it's we've gotten to that tradition that the Cowboys get the last Sunday night game of the year, which by the way is complete bullshit this year. The freaking Jerry Jones and all of them, they knew what they were doing when everything happened with Tony Romo, and that's why up until Friday they were like, oh no, he's gonna have this surgery, but he's day to day. He took an epidural, you know, he's gonna play. He's still day to day. He could play.
Oh yeah.
As soon as Friday happened, when they knew the NFL wouldn't change it, they were like, oh yeah, he wouldn't. surgery today, and they knew since day one of that injury. They knew since Monday that he wasn't going to play. But they knew if they were like, well, Tony Romo's not going to play, it's going to be Kyle Orton, the NFL would have said, well, we got this Bears-Packers game. Even though the Bears just had a Sunday night game, they're going to get it again because it's against the Packers. It's for the NFC North, so we're going to give it to them. That's what would have happened. And it's freaking Jerry Jones trying to manipulate the freaking system, and I'm not a big on conspiracy theories. But to me, that's just, that rings so true.
Yep. It's a money's game.
I'm happy with the way it played out because the 1 o'clock games were so awful. Like, I just found something else to do yesterday afternoon. So I was just looking forward to that Bears-Packer game all day long. So I was happy it was a 4 o'clock game. By the time nighttime gets around, you've already consumed so much football. It's hard to, I've never been a fan of the late game, Monday night or Sunday night. Like, I'm a daytime, that's one of my favorite things about football. It's on while the sun's up. There's just something about that to me. Let me say, I got a soft spot for the Cowboys. I really do. And everything inside me would indicate otherwise, that it's a team I shouldn't cheer for, but I've always liked them for some reason. And a lot of people say that, oh, Tony Romo dodged a big bullet, but I think he missed a huge opportunity. And because now that narrative, and Joe already tapped into it, is oh, he's worth the money that we paid him. But now it just comes down to opinion. If Romo could have played in a early playoff game to decide their playoff fate and came through, I think he could have abolished a lot of the negative attention that he gets for not being clutch, because he's had the most game-winning fourth quarter drives this season. He's really put up some great numbers, but he can't shake that criticism of him, and the only way to do it is to go out there and win a game that matters. So now he's going to have to play through the whole next season with that narrative still open that Tony can't win the big one. And well, otherwise, if he could have just played, I think he could have walked away with a victory here and shut up a lot of his critics. Just a missed opportunity and a sad break for the Cowboys. But with the Romo-less Cowboys, I'd much rather see the Eagles in the playoffs, because they're a hell of a lot more competitive. They could catch fire, and the Eagles have a lot of things working for them that could be advantageous in the postseason. So they're a team to watch, in my opinion.
To me, it's part of that is that Chip Kelly coaching. The fact of how they communicate to the players on the field with all those gestures and cards and colors, it's freaking amazing how well it's worked. I mean, the beginning of the season, they went off at a rough start, but with Foles in there, he is tearing it up, and I don't know whether he is a really good quarterback just yet. I know a lot of people are just like, well, he's doing great now, but I'm like, yeah, but so was Michael Vick when he got back, and you thought that he was going to be this amazing player, but teams started to figure everything out, and I want to see more from Foles. But I think this system and Foles together is just almost flawless to how well they're playing. I mean, granted, you're going to have some potholes and bumps in the road, especially when they went up against freaking Minnesota and lost. But trampling the Bears, which was nauseating to have me watch that shit. And then this past week of beating the Cowboys in Dallas, I mean, a lot was said just that.
Yeah, I think it is safe to say that the new system, it's not every day you see two people like Andy Reid and the Eagles part ways, and then both go on to success the following year. And that's what we got. I mean, Andy Reid got an awesome new opportunity in Kansas City and really made the best out of a new environment. And Philadelphia has a new explosive offense that could be a prototype for what a lot of teams who fired their head coaches today are considering, is picking up a good college coach with a fast-paced offense and bringing in a new philosophy. Chip Kelly has opened the floodgates for college coaching opportunities in the NFL. So really crazy. What the difference a year can make is astounding sometimes.
And, you know, I think that that's going to be a perfect transition to go from the Eagles and the Cowboys, and I'm going to switch it to the Cleveland Browns. I'm going to save the Bears because at least we have two Bears fans on here, and we can talk about it, but I'm going to go with the Browns. First off, Chip Kelly, fuck you for not coming to Cleveland. You told us, you're like, no, I don't want a coaching job. And then you turn around, tell us no, that you don't want to go to the prom because you have plans. Then you go down the road to the next guy and be like, yeah, we're going to go to the prom. Let's do this. Screw you. Screw you hardcore. And then I'm not mad at their record. If they didn't get rid of their head coach today, I would have said, you know what? This team has a lot of potential. Just get rid of Brandon Weeden. He's a piece of trash. He's one of the worst quarterbacks we have had. I've said it since they drafted him because we drafted Brady Quinn. I was like, you know what? This guy could be the future. Turned out he wasn't. Then we got freaking McCoy, and I went, you know what? This guy could be the future. And he wasn't. And as soon as they got Brandon Weeden, I went, okay, I'm going to connect the dots between those two and look at this one and say, you're 28 years old when you're drafted. I call bullshit. I call this guy's going to suck. Turns out I was right. But we still have him on the team. That's one of the reasons why this team has done so bad. We have a stud wide receiver. We have a stud tight end. The offensive line could use a little bit of work. Compared to what what they were last season when they actually gave Brandon Whedon all the time in the world to throw an interception. I mean, come on. And the defense needs work. It really does need work. The person that I want to see in that spot, even though it sounds like he's going somewhere else, I would love to see Lovie Smith in there. Because I know a lot of people are like, we need an offensive-minded coach. Yeah, but the defense needs work. He's going to help with that. All you need to do is put the right kind of quarterback in there, and you're going to actually win some games. Because two things Lovie Smith lacked in Chicago was a stud wide receiver, and he didn't have that until his last year with Brandon Marshall, and then he didn't have a really stud tight end. We had Olsen, but it's nowhere near what he's doing with Bennett this year.
You know what else he lacked was a pulse. The guy's like a dead man walking, no emotion, couldn't light a fire under someone's ass with a blowtorch. I can't. You could have Lovie Smith. I'm not a fan. Not a fan. I'll take our trustman, Dexter, as I call him, any day of the week. I love Dexter.
I liked Lovie Smith up until the last year, and it wasn't a hate for him. It was just you know what, this isn't working out type thing. No hard feelings. Let's get rid of him. But Cleveland, getting rid of a coach after 1 year, are you fucking kidding me? I have dealt through so much shit my life being a Cleveland Browns fan. From the point of them leaving because of Art Modell, which is something that I forgave a long time ago, to Al Lerner dying and giving it to his piece of shit son who didn't want the team but couldn't get rid of the team for 10 years due to his father's will or his dying wishes or whatever. So we had an owner for 10 years who didn't give a fuck. So now we have one that cares. I can deal with anything Haslam has thrown at me, but hiring a coach on your watch and then firing him a year later and say it's because of a poor performance in the second half of the year. Your quarterback was Brandon Whedon. That is your problem with your second half of the season. Campbell, he did decent. I think he made a better mark in Cleveland than he did in Chicago, and definitely better when he did in Oakland. I can live with that, but your problem wasn't the coaching, and it pisses me off that they got rid of him, and they need to up their game in free agency and the draft. You got rid of frickin' Richardson. You got yourself an extra first round draft pick at the bottom of the pile now that the Colts are in the playoffs. Trade up, maybe. That's what your plan is. I don't know. Get me a quarterback. Get me a real quarterback. That's all I want. Do it in free agency. Do it in draft. Do it in something.
How would you feel? There, how would you feel about Johnny Football?
I'm for it. I was for it. I know a lot of people are like, oh, he's so cocky and this and that. And at the beginning of the season, like Browns fans who just kind of hated on him. But now, after having another year, Whedon go, well, yeah, we'd love to have him. I want him kind of since day one. And I was like, oh, if we do really piss poor, we can at least get this guy in the draft.
I'll tell you who was exciting was Brandon Hoyer, man. That guy was lighting Cleveland on fire. I mean, he was utilizing Cameron. Josh Gordon was looking great. He was scrappy. He felt like Cleveland. It seemed like your people embraced him. That was a fun little roller coaster until he popped his little knee out there.
It's Brian Hoyer, and he's actually from Cleveland. That was part of the magic about him. I liked him, but it's one of those things. You play good 1 year, you might not play well the next. It's kind of. I always compare it to Derek Anderson. Derek Anderson came in the second game after I think we got rid of Charlie Fry, who completely choked against the Steelers in Week 1 that year, and then he tore it up against the Bengals on his debut, and then. And we actually almost made the playoffs that year, but we got shut out, which is fine. But he was like a really good quarterback. And you were thinking like, oh my God, you know, this might be our guy. No, he completely sucked next year. Him and Braylon Edwards both are horrible. And I want to see more from Hoyer. But I think if they can get an elite quarterback, get your Johnny Football, get somebody in there. Hoyer is an acceptable backup because we don't know what's going to, like, we'll get into it when we get to Chicago. But I don't know what's going to happen with Cutler and McCown. Personally, I like Cutler as the starter. McCown's that perfect backup to where, you know, if Cutler goes out, he can be in there. So if the Browns can get a good quarterback in there, Hoyer can be that acceptable backup to where, okay, we don't have to worry about our backup being gone. Because I know I always gave shit to Steelers fans because I know last year when the Browns beat them, they didn't have certain good players. I know one of them was their quarterback. They had their third string quarterback in, and they used that excuse. But I'm like, he's still a part of the team. When your quarterback is injury prone, you need to have an acceptable backup. You can't just have, this isn't freaking Brett Favre in there who's going to play for 10 years and not miss a game. We've already seen what Ben Roethlisberger can do and how well he can get injured, so let's have a good backup. And I think the Bears have finally done that, and Hoyer could be very acceptable at that role. And hell, I'd even be happy with Campbell being a third string at that point.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, it's a two quarterback league these days. There's no doubt about it. This is the year of the backup quarterback. Think about how many teams go down the line. I mean, don't do it, but anyone listening, there's been so many people who have hit the bench this year, whether it's injury or getting yanked or what have you. But I think Hoyer's the perfect backup because he is that hometown hero. Whenever your starting quarterback goes down, you always feel like all hope is lost, like when Rodgers went down and they had nothing backing him up. It just took the wind out of Green Bay. It's essential to have a good backup. But then again, you go out, you get someone like a Kyle Orton, who you paid $10 million, and he can't come out and win the one game he's going to play in the next and last 3 years. So it's a crapshoot, but it's good to have one sitting there waiting, no doubt.
I mean, I think I've exhausted all my things from Cleveland.
Did you see the press conference today in Cleveland?
No, I've read about it. I was so, I'm not going to say mad about the thing, about the situation. I had heard it was actually in the middle of the game that they were talking about getting rid of Hoyer. And then after the game, there was rumors of a meeting with Hoyer, not Hoyer, but Chud. And then on the, right after, I think halfway through the 4 o'clock game, yep, he's fired. I'm like, wow, way to wait till Monday.
Yeah.
Get rid of him now.
That owner was under siege today. Like, the reporters, like, fed like piranhas. It was intense. Like, they were reading tweets from the fan base, obviously a miserable fan base, and they were calling him just, and the announcer, in a good way, picked out the good tweets that were well stated and not just somebody hating. There was obviously problems with the franchise, and I like the owner's approach. Very proactive, very, the standard thing to do is to allow that 1 year grace period for a new head coach. But I mean, look, if you feel like he's not going to work in your system, then pull the trigger now and get your fresh blood in. There's a quick turnaround in the NFL these days if you're doing things right. And I think it was a godsend for no other reasons to unload Richardson this year. I mean, not worth his weight, in my opinion. Went to the Colts, has barely made an impact. I don't think he's a scrub, but I don't think he's a number one running back either. So at least they got a number one draft pick out of it. And I think they'll benefit from dumping him and the money it would have costed with that new contract coming up.
If I see a Colts Eagles Super Bowl, I will be pissed to the point that one former Browns associate will win the Super Bowl because Trent Richardson, I was for the trade the moment it happened. I'll take that back. There was a brief second when I read the news, I went, what the fuck? But then I immediately thought about it and went, okay, it makes sense. That's fine. I'm for it. And then on the other side, we have our former coach, Pat Shurmur, who's on the Eagles. So it's almost you leave Cleveland, you make the playoffs. Oh, Phil Dawson too. But I'm rooting for Phil Dawson. I want Phil Dawson to get a ring. But it's just Haslam hired this coach, Chuck Kudinski or whatever, at the beginning of the season, and then have fired him a year later. And it's like, if you didn't think he was going to fit in your system, why'd you hire him in the first place? Or why didn't you at least give the normal 3 to 4 years? I could probably accept two. But the only reason I would accept them firing a guy after 1 year, besides what they're telling us, is you have somebody lined up that you can't talk about until they're allowed to sign the contract. Which it's, I mean, there's a bunch of people they're trying to interview. I don't remember who off the top of my head. But other than that, fire a guy after 1 year. And one thing after being a truck driver, Haslam owns Pilot Flying J truck stops. In their showers, they have this little sign and says about how you deserve a shower, nice shower after a long day, blah, 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 sign Jimmy. I read it and I said, you better put these in now First Energy Stadium, because these showers are what we need after watching some of these games. And after this whole thing of getting rid of the coach, I feel like that's what we need, because it's freaking just pisses me off. But I'll end it on that. Let's get on a semi-more depressing note. Let's talk about the Bears. Dan, since you are a guest, your thoughts on the season, the game, everything.
I'll try to give my short version. Make long story short, it was a good first year for Trestman. I mean, we suffered more injuries per roster spots. I'm sorry, I think I was on speaker. We suffered a lot of injuries this year. That was detrimental, obviously. We have a new offensive line gelling. I'll tell you what, though. We've acquired the new monsters of the midway, except now they line up on the offensive side. Really, by Alshon Jeffries coming on this year, it really allows a diversified wide receiving core. And that helps out Brandon Marshall. I mean, that's really a godsend to him, because now it's not always double coverage, depending on the formation. And I think that's highly beneficial to the Bears moving forward. Forte managed to get through the season without really any bad injuries, which is huge, and preserving him for a couple more years, because I'm a huge Forte all-purpose fan. And obviously, the glaring holes right now are on the defensive side. And one thing I'm really proud of the Bears is working the waiver wire, picking up free agents in the offseason, and drafting pretty well. So I have confidence that this is going to be a good offseason. If we could just solidify a couple of really big, obvious spots, we have no pass rush. I mean, we cannot get to the quarterback. Julius Peppers is not getting any younger. We need to get younger, get faster, get stronger on defense, and I think we could be very competitive next year. We have everything we need on the offensive side. I think Bennett was a nice add this year. A nice, good, strong, athletic tight end. The Bears are looking good, but it was a heartbreaking loss, no doubt, but I'll tell you what. The Bears couldn't do much damage in the playoffs. I mean, there's so many great defenses right now in the NFC that we did not stand a chance. So, whereas with Aaron Rodgers, I know I'm not supposed to say this as a Bears fan, but the longer you're a Chicago Bears fan and you witness the longest rivalry in NFL history against the Packers, you can't help but appreciate them and hate them at the same time, like you would a big brother. You're happy for their success. Of course, you want to be the more successful one, but if it's not you, you're cheering for your brother. And that's where I'm at right now with it. I wish good things for the Packers moving forward. If it's not us, I hope they get in. Another awesome game to the rivalry that is Bears-Packers last night. I just wish we could have came up on the winning end of it. But, well, hopefully they get hot at the right time. Getting Cobb back and Aaron made him look a hell of a lot more potent. So we'll see. Definitely a team to contend with in the playoffs. But we'll see. Hopefully Bears get stronger on defense. That's all.
There's a lot there that I agree with you with. I wanted us to make the playoffs for one reason, because it would be a complete upgrade from Lovie Smith. Trestman wins his first game as a Bears coach, week one, and then he beat the Green Bay Packers the first time up against them, so that was great. So we would have, if he would have won this, A, that would have been, you have swept the Packers for the first time in many years, and B, you've made the playoffs, which we didn't last year. If my reaction, if we would have won, would have been, I'm happy we won, I'll be happy when we lose next week too, because we have completely did an upgrade, a step up, we are moving in the right direction clearly, but at the end of the season we're in the exact same place we were last year. Actually, we are 2 wins behind what we were last year and still just missing the playoffs like we did last year. And I look at the schedule in some of these games, there was some games that we really should have won. Kind of a sidebar joke, because there's that one game we didn't get to talk about the Monday Night Football game, Chicago Bears versus your Dallas Cowboys, 45-28. I just want to bring that up.
Thanks. Didn't need to hear that after losing last night.
No, don't worry. We lost too, but at least I had that. Yeah, because we didn't get to talk about that. And I was on the road, didn't get to watch the game, but oh, I was happy reading the results. It was excellent. But there were, like I was saying, there was some very manageable games that they could have won, where they lost by single digits, like up against the Redskins, up against the Vikings, and what was the other one? Oh, and the second game against the Lions, where we only lost by 3.
Yeah, we lost a lot of games we shouldn't have, and we won some games we shouldn't have, like against Cincy, and we pulled a couple out of our ass, but it wasn't enough. I will say this, the last thing I'll say about the Bears is, I've been a Bears fan my whole life, and by far and away, this is the greatest offensive product Chicago has ever put on the field in the history of the franchise, since the dawning of the forward pass. This is the very best offense the Bears have ever had. The only problem is it happens to coincide with one of the worst defenses in franchise history, impressive. It's amazing as a Chicago Bears fan to say we have one of the most highest scoring offenses in the league. I've never been able to say that ever. So that's a pretty damn cool feeling.
And Cutler, too, he passed some of the marks of Sid Luckman, which is regarded as he's the greatest quarterback in Bears history. No one comes even close to McMahon. Yeah, he won a Super Bowl, and Grossman got to a Super Bowl, but their marks were very, very low when the defenses were great. And it was ironically enough during that Eagles game, I was wearing my Sid Luckman throwback jersey, and I didn't even realize about the record until I talked about it, and I went, oh, that's kind of cool, because I'm wearing a Luckman jersey.
Let me say this. All season, I've been receiving text messages from Miguel on my ass about, oh, why aren't the Bears just going to start McCown for the remainder of the season? I mean, he's been kicking. So what do you think, Miguel? Do you think the future for the – do you think they made a mistake by going with Cuddy in last night's game? Because I thought he played pretty well. Or do you think they should have stuck with the hot hand Josh? Because I'm telling you, this guy's been inundating anybody who's a Bears fan this year and saying Cutler can't cut it, pretty much.
But before you speak, Miguel, I will say this. You are a Broncos fan. I have never met one Broncos fan that say anything good about Cutler.
I was a Cutler fan until it opened my eyes to see what he really was after he left. But the way I see it, man, is when you can have guys like, what's his name, from Baltimore in 2000, if you don't turn the ball over, that's your chance to win. And this guy, man, he too many interceptions. He gets sacked too much.
No.
I don't know.
Here's the thing. They didn't lose this game this past week because of Cutler. You could say, like, oh, well, he didn't make some of those passes. Well, then again, that's some wide receiver stuff. The one thing that I will point at and be like, this is why the Bears lost. It was because of the fumble touchdown, which obviously Cutler wasn't on the field for.
Right.
If the Bears defense would have realized, which, I mean, I know it happens sometimes, where players won't think. They'll kind of forget about the whistle. They're kind of used to it. And they just go off not doing stuff like that. Like, Miguel, week one, Denver Broncos. You had that interception where the guy dropped the ball on the 1 yard line before he got into the end zone. I think Calvin Johnson a couple years ago, I believe it was Calvin Johnson, caught a touchdown, but he dropped the ball before the whistle. And it's one of those things. Is that week one? Yep. I think that was week one after the previous year they played the Lions again. So it's like they went from ending a season against them to starting a season with them. So I couldn't remember which end of that was. But basically, you have these mistakes. And to me, when it happened, I went, yeah, you're going to have that. But if I'm going to point on anything, the reason why they lost was because of that. Cutler played really well. Did Cutler have an interception? I can't remember.
Yeah.
Cutler always plays well. He always plays well, but he always makes mistakes as well. He's worse than Romo. Romo, I like Romo, but Cutler is like a bad version of Romo.
I can't agree with that this year. Mm-hmm. This has been literally, actually both of them, this has been both really good years for them. This has been one of Cutler's best years.
Yep.
I think the only problem was, I can't remember the game off the top of my head, that's when he came back from his first injury. Trestman didn't take him out because of the ankle, and I think he might have waited till like the last series or something to finally like put McCown in. McCown should have went a lot sooner. But other than that, they are a great 1-2 punch in Chicago. It's Cutler's job. That's the reason why you take McCown out, because it's his job to back up the quarterback.
Yeah,
we'll see if they find him though. I mean, he's gonna command a lot of money to give up a lot of turnovers too. So that's the other part of it, is I don't know if he is worth the money that they're gonna have to pay him, and they're in a crappy situation with that guy. You can win with McCown,
but for how long? The thing that they have on Cutler is he has, I'm not gonna say he's proven, but they know what they have with him. McCown being a starter, they only have this year's a sample size of how well he can really do in that system. But at the same time, is it McCown so good, or are those wide receivers just that good? I mean, that's the same thing with Cutler as well, which we've already talked about, those wide receivers and everybody that, like, they are amazing.
And it's undeniable chemistry between the best friends that are Jay Cutler and Brandon Marshall. And that's what you're looking for on offense, is a good rapport. And Brandon Marshall was screaming from a mountaintop during the middle of Josh's success that Cutler's our guy. And he's kind of a head case. So you want to keep Brandon Marshall happy, because I really do believe the team goes as he goes. He's got that much stroke on the team.
Oh, agreed. Most definitely. I'm still not happy with how Jay took everything, because when he came back, he's like, yeah, Josh did good. He didn't like say he was good. He didn't really do anything. He's just like, yeah, he was good. He was okay.
Here's the thing though, to defend Cutler. I don't think Cutler is a very emotional guy. He almost has the emotion set of someone who was in war.
Lovie Smith. Sorry.
Well, basically, like, he's not a guy. He's not a Peyton Manning.
He's a dick.
Who, you know?
He's a dick. Jay Cutler. Let's face it. Jay Cutler is the biggest dick in the NFL. And if you live in Chicago, you love him for it. He's the type of guy that if he's on your team, you love him. If he's not, you hate him. It's as simple as that. He's a dick. Everybody knows it. But make no mistake, him and Josh are good friends. It's been written about on a number of different papers and sources. And I guarantee you, in the quarterback room back there, he was coaching him along, telling him, great job. But on camera, he's smoking Jay Cutler. Not a care in the world, and the biggest dick in the NFL. And I love him for it. He's a dick.
I mean, I could agree with that. I think a lot of quarterbacks, really, when it comes down to it, are dicks. I think it's the handful of ones who aren't. Like your Peyton Mannings. I don't think Aaron Rodgers is a dick. He seems to be like a goody two shoes. There's probably a few others, but I think a lot of them, there's the quarterback mentality. I heard actually stories of, I think, Kyle Orton when he was in college. He was a dick. And it's just that quarterback mentality you get with a lot of people. But Cutler's is gonna be my guy. I think the thing that could save him is franchise tag. They have that one placement they can put on anybody, and you got to figure who is gonna be the person you want. And I think Cutler could be one of those things of, here, we'll put a franchise tag on you. Prove to us you got one more year. Prove to us that you're worth it. Make the playoffs. Get us to the Super Bowl. Win the Super Bowl. Do something. I think anything. I almost want to say, if you don't make it to the NFC Championship game, you might not be worth it. So that kind of pressure is what needs to be on. And of everybody else, I'm not sure who they would want to put the franchise tag on. I know McCown's going to be up for free agency. I know Jennings and Briggs are too, and those are possibilities, but I think those are possibilities that they're going to stay with the team. Cutler might not. And I will say this too, if he does leave the Bears, which it sounds like he wants to stay with them, I would love to see him in Cleveland.
Yeah, him and Josh Gordon could have some good times. And I'll tell you what, make no mistake about it, it's a totally different song if whoever it was last night doesn't blow his coverage with 20 seconds left in the game. I mean, that was just...
Chris Conti!
It's just ridiculous. How can a guy be that wide open? I mean, Aaron Rodgers had a couple turnovers. Jay, I think, had one or two. So it was even there. It came down to a god-awful defensive play like it has all season. I don't put it on Jay at all. If he has half a defense, we win that game.
Oh, yeah. That's the main problem with his team right now, is obviously it's the defense. Like you said, the monsters of the midway. Now to play on the offense. And we need to have that defense back. I think if this offense would have been there for when we went to the NFC Championship game, we would have went to the Super Bowl, because the Packers would have got probably knocked out week 17 when we went up against them and we couldn't do shit.
Well, can you guys name to me one team that has the offensive firepower of what your team has, or Green Bay or Denver, that has had a big, huge, stout defense like that? There never is. You have to pay one side or the other, or you have to divvy it up and be balanced. I don't know any team that can have both.
I'm willing to bet that there's some out there, but they need to be more balanced than what they are now.
I mean, this isn't
a balance. This is a complete lopsided. This is where pretty much we might as well not have a defense out there.
What are you going to do, though, when you sign Cutler? You're going to sign him to a huge contract, and then what are you going to do? Who are you going to get?
Well, it's like I said, too. If they throw a franchise tag on him, that saves them some money.
A little bit.
We just need a defense that allows 23 points or under, because we've been putting up like 30 games a clip. So we just need not to be terrible, like what the Saints are doing. We need a defense like that, a good scheme, a solid enough defense to allow our 30 points that we inevitably score to allow us to win the game.
Yep, I would agree. You've got a high-powered offense for the first time in forever. Yep. Who are going to score you a shit ton of points. You need a defense that'll just get a couple stops, unlike they did this year, because they didn't do shit on defense.
If you're going to be a shitty defense, you need to be the shitty defense of the Patriots a couple years ago. They weren't really that good. A lot of times they were at the bottom half of the league in certain categories, but there were times that, because I remember I had Tom Brady in one of my fantasy leagues that year, and I would just watch the score, like they were down like I think 21-0 at some point. So that means Brady's not doing shit, but the defense is just Swiss cheese. They're letting the team get through, but they end up, I remember, winning 28-21. So while Tom Brady was blowing it up, you had the defense able to make some stops, and it's when it needed to be. And when you're going to have the problems like we had against the Eagles and this past week, like going back to that one play, imagine if the Bears would have picked up that ball. The one player, whoever walked past it, went back, picked it up, and just started darting for the end zone. This could be a monumental different game.
Oh, for sure.
And it's, you need the right people on defense.
And it's weird because they were talking about that on sports radio all afternoon. Well, my whole drive home tonight is that the Lovie Smith defense, they preach that the scoop and run, scoop and score drill every practice. And supposedly they still did it during their practices now, but obviously somebody wasn't thinking right.
I'm wondering, would this happen if, let's say, you know, Lovie Smith obviously did leave and Trestman's still with the team. What if Brian Urlacher managed to stay 1 year and that kind of leadership? You know, he probably would have been able to pick up the ball and run, or he would have been there and he would have picked it up and ran.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, but I don't think he would have made us any better on defense this year. He just got too slow. I love Urlacher, but it was time for him to go. And it allows, it's just like wrestling. It allows someone to get called up in developmental, and the guy who took his place, whose name escapes me right now, has had a pretty good season, and that wouldn't have been available to him if Urlacher was on the field. So and we didn't have Peanut Tillman out there, who is a Pro Bowler, and really is a big reason for our takeaways. And our success has always been predicated on the takeaway, and that identity changed this year. We went to really a team that could hang with the Packers, and I never thought I'd be able to say that. I always feel outmatched when we play the Packers on the offensive end, but we were going blow for blow with them. We just needed a couple stops that we didn't get, specifically the final drive where they converted successfully on fourth and shorts. If we could have held them on any one of those, it'd be a different game, let alone getting bombed on to end it. Ugh.
Yeah, I can't really add anything. Can't really add anything more. I'm really hoping next year they can up this success. It seems like the Bears are a team that they're either really bad or they just get so close. Now, obviously, with a couple years ago making it to the NFC Championship game, and that was a pretty successful year, but then we had a bad year after that. So it was like that year didn't mean anything. And I'm feeling like we have two successful years in a row. Well, not successful. We've had 2 years where we've almost made the playoffs. So we're not completely terrible. We at least had some hope. We were at least in contention. We were on top of the division for part of the season. Why can't we get in the playoffs? Why can't we hold that top spot, win the division? And especially a year when the Lions completely choked, who looked like they were going to run roughshod on this division, but they managed to fall out of contention before the last week of the season, which is remarkable. But I think while we have everybody here, and this is our season finale, we can at least talk about this week and what we have so far for the playoffs, because we actually have some games to talk about. Let's talk about this wild card round. Let's start with the AFC. The 9-7 Chargers at the 11-5 Cincinnati Bengals. A lot of these games are just really hard to call, but I'm liking the Bengals. The Bengals, for once, do not have the Texans in front of them, and they probably feel like they could at least make it to the next round. If I'm going to pick anybody, I'm picking the Bengals. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I mean, Bengals is definitely a good pick for that game. They've had a good season. They've been really, really good comparatively to how they have been.
yet a noticeably different teams without Geno Atkins out there. It's really changed the dynamic of their defense. I like Cincinnati as a strong, deep team in the AFC, but I got a weird gut feeling that San Diego's going to pull one out of their ass. There's going to have to be an upset this week, and I think that's going to be it. I think they're going to get hot at the right time, and just Phillip Rivers is surging right now. I just have a feeling they're going to catch fire. I'm taking the Chargers.
When in doubt, you pick the home team, man. These guys are pretty even. They got a better offense on the Chargers side, but defense wins championships, and they have it a little bit better than San Diego does. San Diego has a lot of holes they got to fix, but if Phil Rivers can limit the mistakes, got a good chance.
Yeah, I think it's the Chargers can get past this round too and make it to the division or even the conference championships. It'll be a real big FU to Norv Turner, because I will still think that they bombed last year to get rid of him. Players will say they don't do that type of stuff, but there was something I remember. I think I just had that feeling last year that they were trying to get rid of him.
Just to add to that real quick, I was thinking about that, I don't know, earlier this week, was being sometimes loyal to a coach can be so detrimental, not only to your franchise, but also to your franchise quarterback. A guy like Phillip Rivers, who in my mind was all dead and buried, and then he just totally gets on earth this year in a system that allowed him to just cut loose and drop some bombs, and he looked like the old Phillip Rivers. Keeping Norv Turner that long was just as bad as firing a guy prematurely. It did nobody any favors, and they've been so god-awful for so long. And how many good years? It's like the Carson Palmer days in Cincinnati, as you had that great talent on the field and you did absolutely nothing with it. And now that he's finally starting to wake up, he's almost exiting the prime of his career. It's all over, and he's got 20 kids.
20 kids.
Let's move on to the other AFC game, the 11-5 Colts hosting the 11-5 Chiefs. This is two teams that within the past 2 years have been actually, these are the past 2 years first round draft picks back to back. And now they are in the, God damn it. Why don't we get this in Cleveland? Okay. I digress.
Because you're in Cleveland.
Shut up. Screw LeBron too on that.
It's actually the first time in NFL history a team went from worst to first 13 games into the season, and when they had the best records, the first time that had ever been done in NFL history. First round pick, and to be like 11-2 or whatever they were.
Yeah. But basically, you're back to back first round draft picks. Colts, Chiefs. Again, another really tough call. You kind of want to go for the home team, but the Chiefs. The Chiefs with Alex Smith, Andy Reid. I like this system a lot more than I like the Colts. Even though storyline wise, I would love to see Colts Broncos.
I'm not a believer in the Chiefs, man. Did you see all the teams that they beat? They weren't that great. So all season, I haven't been a believer, because as soon as it came up to playing the good teams like the Chargers and the Broncos, they just weren't on the same level. They're good. I like Andy Reid. Andy Reid is Mormon, by the way. Not that I care, but he is Mormon. I believe he went to BYU, which is here like 10 minutes away from me. But Jamal Charles is their entire offense. If you can stop Jamal Charles, I don't think they have anything more. Alex Smith, also another local boy. Utah, you go, baby. But I think Alex is a little bit below average quarterback, and Jamal Charles is just an amazing athlete that you just have to double team.
Joke, Dan, why do you?
I think the Chiefs have this in the bag.
I was kind of hoping the Cardinals would get into the playoffs, because it's really the year of the West Coast division. So we've got three representatives from the AFC West, and it could have been three from the NFC, but then it's not often you could say that about the NFL. Usually two perennial, just god-awful teams, or divisions, I should say. But getting back to the Chiefs, I'm kind of more with Miguel, as I haven't been a believer. The one thing you can say for them is they don't turn the ball over, and of course that helps. It's going to be on the road. It's going to be at Indy. If it was at Arrowhead, I would definitely tip my head to the Chiefs. But in Indy, I'm telling you, I think that Andrew Luck, even though this is his sophomore season, I think he's got that clutch gene in him, and I think he rises to the occasion, and I think this is going to be his coming out party this year in the playoffs, and they're going to get on the board with a win over the Chiefs.
All right, let's move on to the NFC, and I'm going to pick this game because I think it's a nice transition, because Alex Smith was once part of the San Francisco 49ers, who will be in Green Bay, the 12-4 San Francisco 49ers up against the 8-7-1 Green Bay Packers. To me, the Packers have the little bit of advantage because it's home, and it could possibly be a very cold game, but there's the 49ers the past 2 years have pretty much had the Packers number. I look for a repeat here of that.
Yeah, I'm picking the 49ers just because I feel that they're the stronger team, even with Aaron Rodgers and Randall Cobb back, and the defense is what I'm looking at also, and the Packers defense is awful, and the 49ers defense is a lot better than the Bears defense, and I mean, you're not going to have Chris Conte quitting on 4th-and-8.
They're definitely going to put a lot more pressure on Rodgers, and if he struggled versus Chicago, man, good luck. You got one coming to you, son.
Yeah, this is a rematch of last year where the Niners eliminated the Packers. So a chance for redemption for Green Bay, but I think they come up short and wind up losing. It's just, I don't know. The Niners are a couple bad plays away from having a 12-game winning streak. They started, you guys remember, they stumbled out of the gate and everyone was questioning what's wrong with Kaepernick. But since then, since they shored up those holes and the guy came back, Alden Smith, they've been solid. And I think undervalued just because Seattle's been coming on so strong. I like San Francisco to go to the Super Bowl. That's my pick to click. They're going back, so I'm going with Niners for sure.
Did you say your pick, Miguel?
Yeah, pretty much insinuated that that 49ers would win.
Okay. And then what I think is just a really interesting game, the 11-5 New Orleans Saints going to be hosted by the 10-6 Philadelphia Eagles. And it's weird because if the Saints win, that would be an upset, but it's this team that we know, I don't want to say that's an upset. I think this almost, if the Eagles win, it's an upset. But this, to me, is the hardest game to pick. I want to see both teams win for different reasons, but the Super Bowl I really would love to see is a Manning-Breeze Bowl, too. So for that to happen, the Saints have to go. I'm going to pick that, but it's very hesitantly because I think this system for the Eagles is one of the best things to happen since the Wildcat formation. And it's almost a question of our team's going to start copying these kind of signals.
I believe New Orleans has won 2 games on the road this season. They can't win on the road. They're a completely different team in the dome, but as soon as they start traveling, it's no good. And I think Philadelphia wins, and they're going to win big. They're going to go up early, like 21-0, like by the end of the first quarter, and it's going to be catch up from there on out. Breeze is going to make a couple mistakes. Eagles take down the Saints.
I'm guessing I have to do this since I lost.
Go Eagles.
Go Eagles.
And just to clarify, that's your pick. You got to say, I'm picking the Eagles to win.
Oh, do I really?
Yeah, because you didn't have to go through a whole speech, and he actually wanted me to write a speech at first, and I'm thinking, yeah, I've written 2 other speeches that make people feel embarrassed, but what am I going to say for the Cowboys? Honestly.
True. Yeah, my pick is the Eagles, even though I want the Saints to win.
Miguel?
Oh, man, I love this offense. I love this team. This is a team that I think is going to get far. Just like Cannon said, the Saints, they're just not the same when they're on the road, and I don't know why. It's so frustrating, but Philly, in the cold, Saints defense is just not good enough to stop them. Philadelphia is okay on that side, and I think they're going to have more firepower and just enough defense to get past them.
So that's going to pretty much wrap it up for the year.
You don't want us to make our Super Bowl pick?
Oh, yeah, we could do. We could make our Super Bowl pick our Pretty Swell Pick of the Week.
There you go.
Pretty Swell Pick of the Week association with the Pretty Swell Guys podcast and my friends at PrettySwellGuys.com. So out of all these teams, what is everybody's Super Bowl pick? As in teams that are going to make it, not just who's going to win. I'll start with my original pick, the Denver Broncos and the San Francisco 49ers.
Well, I guess that means me turn, right?
Yep, sure.
I'm going to go, this is kind of a stretch, but
no, a stretch is the Chicago Bears and the Cleveland Browns.
That's a stretch. That's beyond stretch. Well, my first choice is not a stretch, and that's who I feel is going to win the Super Bowl, and that's the Seattle Seahawks. But I'm going to say it's going to be a Seattle. I don't want to say Denver. I just want to throw it out there. Let's say Seattle, New England Super Bowl.
Who do you got winning?
Dan, Miguel.
Well, who do you have winning?
I'm going to throw out my winner. The beginning of the season, I thought it was going to be the 49ers. Then they started to play, and I kind of switched on that. But I really, really want Phil Dawson to win the Super Bowl. So at least if the Browns can't win it, at least a former Browns player who was with us from 99 till last year, at least he can get something.
What about you, Joe?
I've got Seattle.
It's hard to imagine Seattle not getting in the Super Bowl because of their home field advantage throughout. Something inside me says take San Francisco, but if the game they had at Quest is an indicator, they got absolutely embarrassed. And I don't know if they just got rattled or what, because when they played them at San Fran, obviously a much different result. So I'm sticking with my gut with the Niners. Wouldn't be surprised at all if Seattle got there. And I'm going to go out on a limb and say the Indianapolis Colts are going to catch fire and play the loser in the Super Bowl against either Seattle or San Francisco. So I got San Francisco in the end winning it all. And probably embarrassing Indianapolis, but if not Indy, New England. Definitely not Denver.
I'll say this, though. If there's one team on the NFC that has a shot, a legitimate shot at beating the Seahawks, it's the Eagles at home. Because the Seahawks have that advantage of, you know, how loud everybody in their stadium is. Well, if you have signal calling,
that's a good point.
To where you don't need all the verbal language and all, you don't need to be heard, you could very well see the Eagles walk right into Quest and completely obliterate the Seahawks.
I like it, Evie. I didn't even think about that. You're absolutely right, because they don't even communicate with each other. It's all done through signal calling for every unit on the field. So wouldn't that be something?
I don't know how Seattle can't make it to the Super Bowl. It's just I can't even fathom. But
I gave you one scenario that if that happens, I think that's realistic.
That's great, but they're way too balanced. So you add the home field to a great offense to a great defense, and they just have it all.
Did you answer your question from earlier?
Which question? No.
about the Bears.
And they should have Percy Harvin too, which should be helpful. You would think.
Percy who? But I don't want to pick Denver either. But that's just because I'm so negative. I just can't. I emphasize the negative too much over the positive. But you know, my heart wants to say Denver. My brain tells me there's nobody else that is better than Denver. So I'm gonna have to go Denver.
Shocker! I can't believe you're picking Denver.
I don't want to, but my brain tells me it has to go. There's nobody else. Seattle is not the same team on the road either. Seattle is another New Orleans.
But I mean, I think it's kind of like what we were talking about earlier about how, like, I'm not telling you to convince you out of your pick, but I would love to see the Broncos win the Super Bowl because of that storybook season, even though you Broncos fans are ignoring the shit out of me this year, acting all cocky. You just had the worst quarterback ever who isn't even a quarterback anymore, now officially working for ESPN, going from that garbage to, you literally had like the first round draft pick and you pick up a stud quarterback after having a fourth string quarterback start for a couple years. That's what it seems like.
What Broncos fans do you know? Who's been bugging you? I haven't said a damn word about my guys. That's canon. I say nothing but negative things.
I got a friend who lives close by, and he kind of, like, he'll try to, like, rag on maybe the Bears, the Browns. Like, literally, he tried to talk shit to me because he tried to say, like, I'm not a Steelers fan, but, and he just said, like, something about one of the games yesterday, and I'm like, you kind of are a Steelers fan, because his mom's a Steelers fan, and I know it's because it's kind of his mom. He has a soft spot for him, so he will defend them a lot and kind of act like one. And I said something about him, like, you kind of are a Steelers fan. He was like, and it was after the Bears had lost and were out of the playoffs, and he was like, go Bears. And I'm like, dude, that doesn't mean shit. I don't care. I mean, that's one example. I mean, he's done other shit that just annoyed the shit out of me.
I will say this. I love Denver, so I would have no problem if they did win the Super Bowl. I'm actually a big Manning fan. Love Demaryius Thomas. Think No'Shawn Marino's great. I'm just a big fan. I've always liked the franchise. I'm even an Elway fan, so I would have no problem with it. And the other thing is, if Peyton Manning doesn't win another Super Bowl, he'll never be able to be considered as the greatest quarterback of all time. Regular season, yes, but there will just be too many critics who say he couldn't win the big one, and this is the only way he could silence those critics. And not to mention his brother, who probably breaks his balls at every time they get together for the holidays and what have you. So he needs this one for his legacy. This cements him as arguably the greatest of all time. Without it, you can't make that argument.
You know what? It's kind of a conversation I've been having with some friends lately about, you know, especially after yesterday, of Peyton Manning, you know, starting to break all these records and everything, and he's pretty much starting to take over the record book for quarterback numbers. And there's one that will eventually be broke by Manning, and that is interceptions. But it's not going to be broke by that Manning. It's going to be broke by the other Manning, because Manning being Manning means something different in Denver than it does in New York. But okay,
I was going to say true that. One of them can beat New England. But boom, boom.
Ooh, that's. Sing twice. But that will officially wrap it, I think, for us here at NFL Easy Picks for the year. There's really not much else to say. Any parting words? Because Miguel, you don't really got anything to plug, do you?
Let me think real quick. Come back to me, I might.
Joe, what do you got to say?
I work too much to plug shit anymore.
Maybe you can work on fixing our website, but that's another story.
It works, and by the way, it deducted more money from me without knowing. Awesome.
But Dan, I know you got stuff to plug, so go ahead.
At RealJoeBJR on Twitter. That's about it.
At Dan the Cannon. Watch wrestling. We'll be back on January 7th, theallwrestling.com week in review. So get your popcorn ready. It's going to be fun. Kick off the new year. The stocking stuffer, for anyone who, I know people have been breaking my balls, just deal with the people. I can't do it. I just can't do it. You know, hold it against me. I don't care. I just don't feel like getting behind that computer right now. It's coming, hopefully tomorrow. That's what I keep saying. So, but anyways, January 7th, we're coming back strong.
I actually know the feeling because I have to sit down and record all my calls until I come back home, and I don't want to do it. I really don't want to do it.
Sound like an episode of TNA. sorry, I had to.
That I can get to that off air because I actually have something funny about that I like to talk about. But that will do it for us here at NFL Easy Picks right here on Kayfabe Sports Radio. We'll be back next year, and hopefully we'll have something else in the off season. Just got to work on time. Hopefully the return of anything goes. But this time, once a month or so, and we'll talk wrestling. Have some fun, have people on. That's a whole different story. And then I'm working on my, obviously, the Ohio Indie Report and the side project that I'm working on with that of getting people on talking wrestling. And we actually have a baseball show now on the network, Fielder's Choice with Heavy Hitter. Check it out. I've listened to part of it, not really big into baseball, but it's on the network. Well, go ahead and listen if that's what you're into.
I have one more thing. If you're on Xbox One, add me, Real Joe B. Jr.
Shut up. All right, well, actually, before we go, Miguel, did you have ever come up with anything?
Pew, pew, pew. You can't see me.
I guess that's going to have to do it.
Stay classy.
because Pittsburgh says, fuck you, San Diego. Anyway, thank you for listening to NFL Easy Picks right here on Kayfabe Sports Radio, and let's enjoy some playoff football. Thanks.
The Bears.